We're recording on the lands of the Wurundjeri Woiwurrung people, and we acknowledge them as traditional owners. We'd also like to pay our respects to their elders past, present, and emerging. Always was, always will be, Aboriginal land.
Bad tattoos on leather tan skin. Jesus Christ on a plastic sign. Fall in love again and again. Winding roads, doing manual drive. Bad tattoos on leather tan skin. Jesus Christ on a plastic sign. Early nights in white sheets with lace curtains. Capri in the distance.
Welcome to Midnight Screening, where we let you stay up past your bedtime with the movies you probably shouldn't be watching. I'm Noah Jansen, and I'm back in the room in Melbourne
with
my friends Eliza and Anthony. Hello.
Welcome back. Hello.
Back to winter.
Back to winter. One of the biggest changes in my life was realizing that now the idea of winter coming actually like really upset me. And I was like, I wanted to believe I could just fully skip it. It is heinously cold.
Because you had such a magical New York and California and everywhere else summer. You were in Central Park reading a book.
I did.
Running into Elle Fanning, bestie, just going casually to Governor's Ball.
Stumbling past her on my way to an iconic Chapel Roan performance of Renee Rapp and Cesar, but that's fine. And it also was just a lot of the theatre we saw as well. It was the kind of trip where you're like, I feel like when someone asks me how the trip went, to save them some discomfort, I'll be like, it was really great. Instead of being like,
you don't want to say, I saw Cats the Jellicle Ball. I saw Cats the Jellicle Ball.
I saw Cola Skulls O'Mary. I saw Stereophonic. I saw Jonathan Groff, Lindsay Mendez, I think that's her name, and Daniel Radcliffe in Merrily We Roll Along. I saw Illinois. I saw so many amazing films, so many great things. And if you listen to one of our Patreon episodes and last week's episode,
I loved it.
Last week's episode? Oh, thank you.
Listening to you and Darcy wandering around New York, going to all these amazing old theaters.
Yeah, it's just, it's such a great city to get lost in and stumble into everything. It was so nice. And really love the episodes you guys were making as well. It was really fun to listen to the show. Like I myself was just another like follower and be like, what are they up to this week? Cool. It was very funny.
That's very good.
I wanted to point out with your sounds that songs that scare us episode.
Oh yeah.
That I, before listening, realized I would just take the brief in a completely different direction.
Were your songs like the Monster Mash? And that like, would, It's Spooky in Here by Digimon.
That would be
Adam's Family Rap by MC Hammer.
The Digimon rap is really spooky, great. Actually. That was a good one. No, mine is like sonically things that scared me as a child where the content has no reason to do this. Eliza knows. So Rasputin and
the Ann Ward songs.
Mm-hmm, the song Push the Button, which is a great song. Like I love all these songs so much, but it's about all of them have a thing in them that they feel like songs that are used to like activate sleeper agents.
Okay.
Like Push the Button, for example, it starts with like, but it's not like a normal like beat in the sense that like it feels like you're at a club or something. It's a beat that feels like I can see a crowd of identical looking like marching. AI people marching in
and
line.
And also them pleading with you, push the button.
And da, 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 da. It's so spooky. Exactly. That's what I mean. But I can't, and like I will describe this and it sounds like complete bullshit. But when I hear those songs, it's what I think of. Rasputin like as well. Like a crowd of people being like, it was a phone. It was long ago. He was great. And everyone's just slowly marching, but like losing their sentience.
Like, you know? A lot of the other thing I've noticed in the songs that scare you is a really high female voice. Like Babushka by Kate Bush scares you.
Yeah.
The Deanne Wood song, I think you're freaky and I like you a lot. You're like, oh no.
I feel like
no.
I have like old like pirate brain where I feel like I'm doing sirens and I'm like, whoa, what is this? And I'm going to like stumble into a freeway. That's kind of where it takes me. But it was such a good episode to listen to, even though I was mildly confronted by your like really interesting song choices that I never heard of. And I would have said, push the button. But it was really good. Just in general, we've been making the Patreon really fun, yeah. I think. I love the content we've been doing to try to make it worth your while. So thank you so much to everyone that's been a member recently. We've kind of been going for a little while now. I think this is episode, like, I've done this before to you, Anthony, and I'm not going to...
Yeah. Otherwise, we're in the 20s.
Morbessa will kick off and I don't want to upset Morbessa. I'm going to say it's 21.
Yeah, I think that's the safest assumption.
I think so. Morbessa, is that okay?
Okay. 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 Here we go.
Wow. Ooh. This episode can drink in the United States and vote and drive a car.
We're legal. And good thing we're legal for what we're listening to today because we're going to be a little bratty. But first, just wanted to quickly say for next week's episode, it is a Patreon exclusive. We are finally getting back to the slop bucket and we are watching something that we actually immediately were like, I have so much to say on this. It was something we were prepared to think was messy or like not silly, but it actually just ended up being like super fascinating piece of media. So that's an episode that's going to be really good.
Yeah.
And just in general, it's...
The patrons get some good stuff. Like that's next week. Last week we had our friend Hirsch on to talk about scratch and sniff horror cinema, which was awesome.
Exactly. We're always trying to mix it up for you. It's $5 a month, which, you know, in this day and age, it doesn't always go a long way. What's something you spent $5 on this month, Eliza?
I don't want to say how much I spent on bath bombs today. It's truly embarrassing.
Multiple bath bombs?
Two bath bombs.
Oh, no.
I'm not going to say how much it cost actually, but it was more than $5.
Oh my gosh. Heinous. Do you get them? You can get them at like Salvos and stuff for really cheap.
Yeah, but I want a fancy
They're
one.
They're used though. No, I'm kidding.
I'm picturing some dipshit like putting the bath bomb in the bath with like plastic still on it. And you're like,
That's the good stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's going to be a great one next week. Slot Bucket's been really fun. So also that means there will shortly be a new poll up for our Patreon subscribers to vote.
And you could easily be one of them. Make us watch something really bad.
You can put us through hell.
Yeah.
Or maybe bliss.
That would be so funny if someone hates us enough to pay us $5 a month to make us watch bad things. Really bad
things. Or they just keep recommending us the same movie. If we ever let them pick the film, that's what it will become.
Mm.
Like, you know, the Twitch streamers who just like make it like, oh, if you spend $5, then this light, strobe light in my room activates and like kicks me up and stuff. And they create like a torture room for themselves.
Yeah.
That could be us with the media.
Oh my God.
But yeah. Speaking of cursed/incredible media, we have a twin pick for you today.
Our first ever twin pick that's not two movies.
It's not two movies.
And an album.
A movie and an album. It kind of exists exclusively because we thought of it and were like, that has to be made now. No one else is going to do it but us.
I think that's the criteria for the show. It's really like the kind of initially... like written down, codified criteria, like doesn't really apply of like it being films and they've got to be really similar and blah, blah, blah.
That's
like
right. Rules it's are loose to be broken.
Lateral thinking, all of those sorts of words.
Brateral thinking.
Brat? Why are we talking about brats, Eliza? What do you mean? What are we talking about today?
Today, we're looking at the film Brats based on the controversial doll line of the same name and album of the year, album of all time, maybe. Yes. Charlie XCX's lowercase brat.
I feel like this is going to be the worst cases we ever have of like pretending like, oh, what are they going to think of these two things? And like,
it's not
even a competition. I don't have a problem in flagging that up top. Like, I'm so excited to talk about them both for the literal polar opposite reason.
Yeah. Do we even bother at the end saying which we like is better? I feel like.
I guess if someone wants to really place their bets on an upset, like if one of us has a menti bee in the middle of this and something changes, then we can go from there. But I feel like we can strongly say that Charlie XCX's Brat is like
a little stronger.
It's a bit better.
Yeah, a little bit more well received.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. And we'll be a bigger cultural mainstay as well, I'm sure. So does that mean we should start? Do we want to start positive or negative? / what do you think serves our temperament better? I go with the negative up top a lot these days.
I know. I kind of feel like we should talk about the album first.
I think we should too, because then we'll be in such a good mood that the failure of the Bratz movie will be like a silly frolic. You know? It'll just be like, you know, we're in a good place to talk about it. Let's talk about Brat.
Okay, okay.
Okay, okay, okay. Okay.
Here we go.
Here we go.
Gosh, I love movies.
This is going to be really fun talking about an album for the first time. I have no idea what it's going to be. Very excited to talk about Charlie XCX's sixth studio album, Brat, which even if you haven't listened to it properly yet, you've definitely seen it or it's been in the background of your life in some way, because there is so much to this regarding not just the brilliance of the album itself, but just like the brand of it, the idea of the personality it speaks to. And the thing that I feel like I'm going to keep coming back to when we talk about it is like that it is like reimagining the idea of, well, not reimagining, it's sort of honoring the idea of being like bratty or spoiled.
Defining.
As very nuanced, as being like inside of this, you know, the classic thing of like we were raised viewing like a Lindsay Lohan or a Paris Hilton as someone to be like demonized and looked down on.
A party girl who's a bit of a mess, unapologetic.
And that they are like dumb, you know. Yeah. And history is full of like extremely intelligent, clever women.
Who was the first brat in history? I have an answer.
I feel like you're going to go way back. I just read a book on Marilyn Monroe, so I'm thinking about her, but like, no, it's not.
Well,
that.
What about the first woman? The apple don't fall far from the tree. The apple don't run right to the core.
Ain't
Eve
that
in the Bible, breaking the rules.
Duh, exactly. Wow. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I just am so excited to be in the middle of a cultural moment for pop.
Wait, well,
in general.
Has Brat Summer ended though? Because Democratic pick Kamala Harris is co-opting the album's like style and Charlie is back to her and stuff.
At first I thought it was like just, you know, like fan cams on TikTok and stuff. I didn't realize that's literally
They're
Kamala Harris.
They're actually trying to coast off Brat Summer into being like.
And popping onto RuPaul All Stars.
that was so goofy.
Season finale as well, the grand finale. Yeah, obviously like this album is so much fun. Do we just start with like, is it best to start with what our favorite songs on the track are? Like what's your favorite?
Yeah, I was saying Von Dutch is still like if the album had sucked, that single and the video of her going crazy around an airport was still really exciting to me. Like I could listen to it looped for ages.
Oh, and like
B2B, back to back, I really love.
Yeah, back to back is so good, definitely.
Back, 365.
Yeah, mine is to me, what encapsulates how great the album is and like what is really beautiful and like super intelligent about it is the 1-2 punch of I Think About It All the Time into 365. That is the whole album in one thing that's like inside of being this, you know, 365 party girl, 666 with a princess streak. I am at the point in my life where I'm like, my friends now are having children and now they know things that I don't. And then you go off the back of that being told so sincerely, Pearl is on Eliza's lap and is being a
brat. Pearl's so confusing. This is what I was saying.
We were saying in another one of the best albums on the track, on the tracks on the album being Girl So Confusing.
Pearl.
It's so confusing sometimes to be a Pearl.
Don't know if she's loving it that much.
Well, she's a brat. We'll she doesn't have to.
For ages,
we have, we have a rival cat in our suburb, our area, and
Pearl's
we imagine them being
Lord and Charlie trying to work
feuding,
it out on the remix.
But sort of loving friends who are like, really, we should be.
Sometimes I think I might hate you. Sometimes I think you might hate me.
People say we're alike. They say we've got the same hair. Every cat ever. They're like, we're supposed to love each other. We're cats, but maybe I don't want to love every cat I meet. Maybe some of us are different.
So that, okay, we got completely sidetracked. What were you saying about?
It was important to me to address the cats, yeah, the cats drama that's been happening.
I get what you mean. I think about you. I think about it all the time. It's so like
so beautiful.
Raw. Even like her singing is a little half-assed and very like vulnerable. And then to go into the closing track of the album, which is like, I will never die till the windows crack.
Yes.
Should we have a little key? Should we have a little wine? Like just the, invulnerable the double use
of bumping that for like bumping a line and like, want to hear my track? Are you bumping that? Like yeah. It's so good. I love it so much. But yeah, it's just wild. The idea that like, you can exist in, the brat can exist in multitudes. She does not have to be like confined to just the idea of, you know, like this is something that's been pretty present like since the internet, you know, the more that the internet just explodes. Have you heard of this internet thing?
What?
The more that kids are growing up on it, the more that like for the last 10 years, especially the image of someone that is like, I'm hot and yeah. very unapologetically like not narcissistic, but like I love my image. I love looking good and yeah. I like being admired. And that be something that can have more to it than just needing to sell that as like you're allowed to laugh at me or something like it was when we were kids. The idea that like this album lets it be both that and have all these songs where you're like, no, I'm fully thinking of all the normal shit you think about when you're like in your 30s freshly.
Think about it all the time.
Yeah, it's so good. 365 is the one that like if I just want to bop, that's what I'm chucking on. It's so, so good.
It'll wake you up.
I think the whole thing feels to me like a kind of backlash against like patriarchal hypocrisy, like very directly, which is like, I mean, the cultural movement, like not just the album, but like the idea of in a lot of media traditionally, like women are conditioned to like want to need to like be a certain thing. And like that is like where their value could only be derived from and blah, blah, blah. And that like in order to like maintain power, like the people like enforcing that patriarchy and shit also have to have some kind of like fail safe for people who like actually believe that they have attained that and have actually like tried really hard to like chase that, because then those people might just become like happy and self-actualized and like realize that there's like a lot of bullshit behind like being feeling like you are being forced to like become something like that rather than just doing it because you want to. And so there is this like impossible like double standard of like you need to work really hard to like be like confident and hot and charismatic and
so
like
Julia.
To be everything. But if you get there, that's now bad. And I feel like the thing with the like brat movement and like why it's so incredibly zeitgeisty is people just like increasingly over the past like particularly decade or so, I guess, just being like, that's ridiculous. Like,
I think the impossibility.
That is so impossible.
That word, yeah, like there's particular songs that are about Charlie holding herself up against other women.
Yeah.
Sympathies and I feel like I couldn't be like Taylor Swift if I tried. Yeah. And I think the album cover, the iconic cover of kind of pixelated text against this acidic green, the Snotty color really associates.
Which we'll be talking about for the rest of our life. Like it will forever be the brat color.
Yeah, yep. Me at the traffic lights. Oh my God, brat. Brat summer. Cars piling into me.
Pantene's color of the year next year.
Yeah, yeah. Using my Mikey card. Wow. Okay. Here we go. Anyway, I feel like that color is associated with jealousy, like the green-eyed monster or whatever. And so I think the whole album bouncing back and forth between it's okay to just admit that you're jealous of me. I'm an it girl, party girl, whatever. I am like this icon, this messianic figure of partying and doing drugs and having fun versus, but there's also other kinds of women I can't be and I can't understand, or people having kids and I'm jealous because I feel like they have now this existential wisdom that I don't have.
Like, exactly.
There's something really honest about that to me. And honest about being like, I kind of feel like I'm a little bratty kid, like arrested development. And I don't really want to grow up just yet. I want to party and be in this moment and be kind of between two states.
And I feel like that's the other element to it, is like this kind of like generational or like multi-generational, like grappling with kind of imposter syndrome of like what it means to like be an adult at the moment.
Yeah, totally.
And just being like, you can't force everyone who doesn't like own property already to feel like they are inherently a child just because of that fact forever. Like that
exactly.
Either must change at some point or it must be untrue in some respect and like blah, blah, blah. And like, yeah, I feel like there's a lot of like anger and fear wrapped up in people being like, I can't just be like infantilized for my whole life because of like, I don't know. Yeah. This like weird, like generational cluster thing that's going on with like
totally.
Some of the older generations kind of being like merged together and some of the younger ones being merged together and this like
and being
sharp
like,
divide that goes on there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I just find it like it's so interesting how reductive the idea of the brat throughout history has been. I'm mostly talking about like our upbringing, I guess. Whereas like an album like this does such a good job at being like, for something where the image and character of it is about self-obsession, it's actually super empowering. Like it's an album that is just in the way that someone is like sold to us by the media as being selfish. And you're like, actually their handlers are selfish. The people who condition that image are selfish. They are someone who's trying to survive inside like an image that's been given to them.
Are you thinking of like Lindsay Lohan and Britney and stuff like that?
Yeah, yeah. Thinking about people like that. Whereas an album like this just poses that thing of being like, I am this because this is how I like survive. This is how I like back myself in. And this is like a way of life for any of you to adopt. The reason it's a brat summer is because like you listen to it and you're like, oh my God, I'm going to have my brat summer. Like it like invites you in, even though it's an album about being like, I am the fucking best. It like allows you to be a placeholder to be her, to think that way about yourself, which is the exact same as someone being like, you know, really fucking rude, but then to your face being like, I'm actually a really good person who looks out for other people. And I'm like, the best way for all of us to look out for each other is if you looked out for yourself and you were just a bit of a brat, but a kind of super kind brat that's like, wow, I wish I could connect to my, like, you know, not connect to my female friends better, but like, I feel this disconnect between all of us because all of us are grappling with the same thing, the same idea of like, you know, as you said, sympathy is a knife. Like we're all just supposed to love every single woman, like every single woman in our life. We're all supposed to be best friends instead of like being able to be anxious about my fame or my career. Like,
and the most emotional track to me, Sophie, beautiful. It's like, even then, like she could have sort of made excuses and just done like a big memorial, but she chooses the maybe kind of selfish thing of being like, this is how I felt about your death. And like, kind of weeping over this incredible, impactful electronic musician's grave and being like, I wasn't a great friend to you all the time.
Like
I sometimes couldn't handle how honest and emotional you were. And I was sort of just like a fun, like flirty little party girl and would avoid you because you were so intense. You were like a lightning strike or whatever. And I regret it and stuff. Like it's really confessional. And
again, for someone that the whole idea
is like, and it didn't.
No one can fuck with me. Like I'm bulletproof, to have a song where you're like, yeah, no, like we all know the reality of people who like live this idea that like life is a party. And then we know how they go in moments where they're like, all I know
I fucked this up.
I'm fucking depressed and don't know how to learn from it or get myself out of it because all I do is run away from, you know, learning how to better take care of myself or like learning how to be confronted by a hard truth. Like it's so refreshing that those things don't have to be a critique of the character she sets up. It just is like the parts of
the
whole.
It's nuanced. It's all part of it.
Yeah.
Anything you guys would change about the album? A song you would get out? A song that
literally
you would put in? Guess?
No.
From the extra tracks?
Oh, yeah. For me, like Guess and Spring Breakers both, I'm like, they're a part of the album. I just like love them. I love Spring Breakers as the idea of, I just thought of a different triplet in the attic I'm going to do based off Spring Breakers. Because I was saying I love
the
idea.
Spring Breakers?
No. Well, yeah, I could do that. Okay. You should probably, if you want to love that, the song Spring Breakers, you should watch Spring Breakers. But I love the idea of like, not necessarily in like literal plot or anything, but like being so inspired by a film and its ideas that you want to like capture the feeling of it or the experience of it in a song. It's so good. What is everyone's favorite lyric in Brat?
I've got to be honest, like about both that and the previous question, which is to say that I don't know the album that well yet. I definitely will. Like, I really, really like it. So I'm going to jump into it more. And I'm very much the person who will like learn every lyric and like learn all of the chord progressions of every song on the album and like all of that sort of stuff.
I think when it's summer for us, not quite there yet. In Melbourne, when it's nice and hot, maybe we'll have like a second wave.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to hear this at picnic or at the pool. Or,
I could see that.
I just come back from my Brat summer and it was, I was like, already it's done so many things. Anyway, answer the questions, please.
That's amazing. Like I don't think I could answer the question about a track that I don't think should be on there.
I think Rewind is a little weaker than the rest.
I'll come back to that.
Okay.
Do you have a favorite lyric that you know of?
A favorite lyric.
Well, Liz, any popping in your head?
Yeah, you might have to give me a minute.
Damn, what a thrilling question this has been.
I think like she's a radiant mother and he's a beautiful father.
That is my favorite. That, I was just about to say.
That is such a layered sentence.
Wait, go like again for the listeners.
She's a radiant mother and he's a beautiful father.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's like a...
She sounds so posh.
It's a brief throwaway little ad lib between an actual like, in inverted commas, like proper main line of the verse. It and like I think the beginning of the next chorus.
It like sits out of the verse like sound. It's and
got like a call response thing that goes on with like the line before that and the line afterwards. And it's like, it's so fucking layered and like cutting and stuff. And I'm
it's
just
the
like,
sense of humor of the whole album in a line. You were literally reading my mind. I was going to say my favorite line
that's
on
nuts.
The album is that as well, because I just think, just like the 1-2 punch of that song, I think about it all the time, and 365 is encapsulates so much of her. That line is like when, as we talked about, when you feel like you're an adult, but really inside you're like still a little kid, or like
still
you're
still a like young girl from Essex.
Exactly. Then when you are having just the idea of like seeing a real sincere, like human moment that's probably like a bit further down the line for you, like you are, as she sings about, like haven't had that life experience yet or chosen those choices, and your brain filters it in this way that's so like
wordy,
like it's beautiful, but it's like
it's a bit over the top,
actively funny. Like it's supposed to be sort of funny to be like, and then I saw this really beautiful romantic moment and went, she's a radiant mother and he's a beautiful father. And you can see her being like, I'm going to process it in this way. And that like, it sounds like when you're like, maybe I could, there's a TikTok that someone put that song to of a girl going to a party holding a 20 pack of Diet Coke. And she's like, I am getting such maternal energy from holding this pack of Cokes. And it's so sweet. And that track is on. And like, it's exactly that feeling of being like, imagine if I was a mother just right this 1 second right now. You know what I mean? But then like, otherwise not making the choices that inform that.
It feels like
it's the world in a line.
Like quite... you can't help but read it as somewhat sincere because of the surrounding track that you are like experiencing as you hear that line. But at the same time, it feels like something that is directly pulled from a film, like from kind of a cheap film. Like it's, I don't know, it feels like such a cliche, but it's like such an odd choice to like use a cliche in that moment when you're like trying to do nothing but sincerity with like
literally,
the rest of it.
And just captures that you're like, you're not yet the person that has children. Like you're not yet the person that has chosen to be a mother with kids. You're singing about, would I make that choice? Would I set my life up to make that choice? So it's so funny to have a line that just sounds like sincere, but also really naive in a way that is meant to be funny as well. Like it's so good. Liz, what about yours? Are any striking you?
I guess they're more how they're executed. I love Lord saying that I still ride for you, Charlie,
beautiful. Whatever.
And I love how much she says airport in Apple. It's like it's such a mundane thing to be like, go to the airport or whatever.
The airport.
But it's very unglamorous, but it becomes this like emotional thing.
Totally. I assume you've seen lots of like the TikTok dance as well.
Yeah.
Don't you get like, does your brain really struggle with the way people do the timing?
Yeah.
Because they stuff up the Apple.
Anymore.
Da, da.
Yeah, they always fuck it up.
down, 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 down. I know. I saw this video of someone being really like, they did a video being like, everyone's getting it wrong. And it was super like, you know, I'm going to teach everyone. And she screwed the timing. And I was like, I can't see this anymore. I cannot.
It's got to be crisper, like an apple.
It does. Like it's got to be right down the line. And I like the hip bop has to have a little bit of like a pop to it. Troye Sivan did it really well. That's the first one I saw where I was like, it needs that like pulse when you do the little hand down. Troye Sivan did it with Charlie. Yeah. And it has a little hand.
You know what else is funny about
it?
Brat is no features. Like a lot of, got AJ Cook on it and like a lot of writers chiming in every now and then, but no features, just which I think makes it real strong.
The Lord.
Yeah, even that, like she, I don't know, I'm sure she could have whipped that up in time for the album. It only came out a little bit after the album's released.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, it makes it so much more kind of.
Yeah, totally. I don't know, what was the other question? Standalone. There was something we were going to come, I was going to come back to, and I can't remember.
You wanted to talk about Rewind.
Rewind. Okay, so I don't think there's any track that I would want off the album, but it's surprising that you love Back to Back because that's the one that I listen to the least in terms of like, I just think it's a really fun track. But it doesn't really move me. Whereas Rewind, I like the idea of, again,
for who she is. I just think it's a bit similar to her other songs. I just want to go back to 1999.
But it just like the rest of Brad, it has more of the like anxieties of a 30-year-old in it. It has more of the like idea of not just being like, I want to go back, but being like, oh, I'm trying to still be.
I should be happy.
The 365 party girl. But like, I have all these annoying thoughts that so are not who I used to be. You know, like, why am I anxious now? I'm getting older and I'm getting more insecure about like all this stuff, you know?
Yeah, it's just probably not my fave. I guess.
Totally.
I think from my limited listens, and I probably would have said that Von Dutch was one of my favorite tracks, but I think with trying to pick a unique answer, given that that was your answer. I think the second pick for me is actually Everything is Romantic.
Yeah.
I actually think that that track is incredible. I was listening to it yesterday and talking to my partner Tilly about it. And
thinking about your honeymoon?
I said some, no, not even that. Like we were talking music. Romantic. Like we were talking like technical music choices and shit like that.
Yeah. I was thinking we should talk more about that actually. So like talk more. I would love to hear more about your thoughts on like the like production side of the music as well.
You're much more qualified to talk about this.
Let's talk about the soul of Brat. Like that's what
the production and these were my exact words last night. The production and the mixing of Brat absolutely fucks. Like it is so, it is both like experimental and so like controlled and like concise at the same time in terms of like, a lot of the sound design and like the choices of like synth parts and like processing of her vocals and all of that sort of stuff. There's a lot of weird stuff going on, but it never detracts from like what she's saying or doing and stuff. Like the, just from like a technical standpoint, like the mixing is particularly cool in that respect that it's just like, you kind of get to have all of it at once. And it's like, it's really a kind of like feast for the ears a bunch of times, but it's like, yeah, it's not only that, that never overpowers her, like blah, blah, blah. So yeah, like that's really cool. But yeah, one of the things that really stood out to me when I was listening for the first time to it in Everything is Romantic is that for me, it's like doing a kind of meta play on genre. Like, I feel like that song, out of any of the ones that I've heard on the album, even though some of the others like seem to do a bit of this, it's almost like every 10, 15 seconds, it's like doing a different genre. Like it's doing a different nod to a different kind of like production trope or like technique or something of like different styles from like the past, I don't know, like 20, 30 years of electronic music.
That's like great opening, that like the piano, like the orchestral like sweeping thing.
So which beautiful. Is very like kind of like hip hop sampling culture type stuff doing that. And then it jumps straight into this like very like fast for a pop song. Like, like hard styly dub and bassy sort of thing. That's up at like, I don't know, 160, 170 BPM or something like that. If I had to guess.
When I do my Brat walk that I've been trying to do.
Absolutely.
In winter, there are some that I can't keep up with. I'm like, oh, all right, half speed. Every like,
that's one of
them. That must be. Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, that one is really, really cool to me.
I just love that.
The way that it like kind of, it has so many ideas And I feel like I've heard people in the past talk disparagingly that this feels like a musical production like equivalent of some of the like conceptual ideas of the album, of a like have your cake and eat it too sort of thing.
Yeah,
where very bratty to eat a lot of cake.
I have heard people in the past be like, oh, you know, you've maybe put like too many ideas into this or something. Like, you know, you can show some restraint and things. And I absolutely feel that like about my own stuff. Like I definitely trend towards like minimalism when I work on things. But it's so cool. Just like very confidently just being like, you get a little bit of this and then a little bit of this. And it's like, yeah, it's a whole trip. That song.
So awesome. A random beat from one of the songs that we haven't talked about that I love is Love the Piano, like interlude in Mean Girls. When it just breaks down, it's so out of nowhere and it so fits back into the beat so well. Will you indulge me a bratty moment? I'm going to run you through. I simply have to because you were complaining about it before and I was like, I have to shove in your face that I lived a brat summer.
Yeah.
And okay. I think there's some value to this for people, but I think you need to hear it. So in New York, incredible cinema called The Roxy, which is somewhere
that... Did you go there for one of the three movies?
No, I don't think we did. We were going to see Liquid Sky there and then they moved the screening so we couldn't do it as part of that episode. But yeah, it's one of the cinemas that we couldn't do in the Cinemaniacs episode, but it's this beautiful theater in the Roxy Hotel. And when we were there, so for a long time, Darcy and I have wanted to see Daisies, this like stunning, hilarious film. And it was on at the Roxy. We didn't even realize until like a week before as part of the Brat Collection. Charlie XCX is like famously also a cinephile and had curated.
Probably a listener, I assume.
Of course. Charlie, you're so welcome here. And I loved the Brat Collection at the Roxy where it was like a curated like set of films, like a little retrospective, all of which you're like, I feel so blessed that these are all films in the last year. Like Darcy and I have discovered and just been like obsessed with, like Party Girl was one of them. Project X was one of them, which is funny. Party Monster was on there, which is a film that
was a bit of a flop for you guys.
Is like in terms of like aesthetic and stuff, really great and like really fun. It's kind of like a horrible film, but someone should take the like that's the kind of thing that should get remade. Is like a thing with potential, you know. So when we went to go see Daisies as part of the Brat Collection, before the movie starts, they just play the 360 music video. And it was so fun to be with the crowd, just like popping off to a music video in a cinema like that. Everyone was so excited and it eased everyone into the movie so well. That was phase one of my Brat summer. It was so exciting.
And you'd be thinking about it throughout the whole movie, like the restaurant scenes in the movie and stuff.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And just it's the classic case of like that film was made in, what do you reckon? Like
60s?
I'd think the 60s. And everything that it is speaking to about these in Daisies, like these two young girls who essentially just like hook up with, not even hook up with, just like 66. Get sugar daddy, 66, get like sugar daddy is like old lonely dudes to like buy them a bunch of food. All they care about is like eating really good food and just like go around town, getting them to buy shit for them before ditching them. And it is told with such like visual.
And they have a real philosophy. They're sort of like, it's a brat world, so we shall be brats. And exactly. Ruin everything.
Exactly. I could not recommend it highly enough. And then a few weeks later, I was like, I wonder what life's going to be like when I get back to Melbourne. And I'd just gone for a swim and it was sun was shining in Santa Barbara, living my LA life, got out of the pool, pop in my headphones, play the first beats of 360, which I hadn't listened to in a few days and was like, the raw power of this. Yeah, I was in withdrawal. Then I reached to my phone to message Darcy and be like, I'm living the brat summer. And I got a message that essentially I got a new job. And I was like,
I don't think getting a job is brat.
She allows us to
exercise
our demons.
And manifest good things.
Exactly. She allows us to be the brat and manifest it. I became in that moment and I was like, good things are coming. And I had to do was open my phone.
I'm glad you got this job. Don't get me wrong. I don't think that's brat. I don't think that's brat to be like, yeah, I got employment.
She explicitly is talking about her career all the way through Brat. It's all about being like, yeah, by the way, I am a famous person. Like, my career is blowing up. I'm your favorite reference, baby.
Yeah, I'm your favorite reference on your resume.
Yeah, I put that up the top.
All right.
666 yeah. for the Princess Street.
I mean, sounds great.
You just sound a bit resentful.
No.
I'm is not what I'm hearing.
Jealous a bit
while you
at
listen
all.
To Brat with your cat in your little room. Sorry.
It has been really sad. I've been trying to like seasonal affective depression or whatever. Get up in the morning and listening to Brat does help, but it does make me sad being like, wow, I'm wearing a million layers, walking around in the fucking cold, come back home and go to bed. Like, that's not what she would want.
Who the fuck are you? I'm a Brat when I'm bumping that. Yeah, totally. Well, this has been like a riveting discussion of some great media. And I'm like, should we try and decide before we do it what kind of tone? Are we going to try and be positive about how the Bratz movie makes us feel? Can
like
we do it?
The Bratz movie is so, as we'll go into it, has a lot of problems. It was very negatively received. I feel like, why not? Let's be like positive about it and say what we like. And
oh, I'm not talking about saying no mean things to it. We would have nothing to talk about. I just mean
it's been shit on enough. Let's like
exactly
be, you know
this exactly. I'm really glad we started with this because I can bring my personal success as a Brat into the experience of trying to survive
your
Brats.
Bratitude.
Do, 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 do.
That's the song Bratitude, that's the Bratitude in Bratz. Song. Let's
if they're listening to this, they should know that.
The listener.
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Aren't you two forgetting something? How about channel 27? Blood pressure of 160 over 80. Heart rate of 88. Normal sinus at this time. Respiratory rate of 18. Everything is going to be all right. You only have to stay all right. Do not look outside. Do not look outside. Do not need to look outside. Look out, look out, look out, look out, look out.
Brat with a Z.
Zing.
With a Z. Came out in 2007. It was released in August of that year, making it a Leo, which is a very bratty sign, I feel.
Day after my
no
birthday.
No offense to you. Yeah.
None taken.
This movie was a huge flop. And when we were watching the film, even though I knew this line was coming up, there's a line I remember. In 2007, I must have been really getting into reading reviews of films, particularly scathing roasts of films. And I remember heaps of critics saying the line in this movie where one of the girls is talking about how she's excited to learn science at school and then gets shut down by the other girls, and also a literal record scratch, like, wait, what sound effect? And the girls say, hold up, girl, work that IQ, girl. But never lose your passion for fashion. I remember that being called out as like, this film is toxic to young female minds.
Hop back in your box, little girl. What are you doing? You gotta look sexy.
STEM, more like wear a scarf.
Yeah. It's exhausting. Well, it's also because the film's message is supposed to be the opposite of that. And at every moment you're like, I feel like nobody here had any sense whatsoever that they are constantly making a film in battle with itself. You know,
its
we talk
message, yeah.
about Mean Girls as a film that like
this one's for oh my mean girl. Wow, she's everywhere.
She's everywhere. She's so Julia.
I'm everywhere. Yeah.
This is how my life has been going as well. It's just doing that all day long. In Mean Girls, where like Mean Girls is a film that's about, you know, like to really dumb it down, not being a mean girl, but then it's a really funny movie because of all the mean girls.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is fine because it's a great movie and it still balances it.
But it is contradictory or hypocritical.
Whereas Bratz is a film that is constantly about like not the villain of the movie, who we'll talk about in a bit, is essentially
Meredith Baxter Dimley.
Meredith Baxter Dimley. It's essentially like a Big Brother surveillance state. The movie opens when it introduces the school with like crash zooms into all these
CCTV. It has the like
they
live signs saying like obey, conform
and shit.
Which
and
is
the
fun.
Idea is like, stick to your clique, like stay in your box. And the Bratz really challenge this notion by being like, don't you know, you can
be
a sexy woman. And you're like, what the fuck? Like when they start to be like, wow, we really have to maintain our friendship and bring everyone to like to understand that
the rules are too rigid. We got to break the rules.
And the way they break the rules is by going around to every social group and like dolling up all the girls.
Being like, oh, you should wear high heels. You should do eyeshadow.
Crazy.
In one scene, giving makeup makeovers to actual tiny little girls, which is meant to be like, oh, it's like, you know, Bratz, the doll, the very criticized, arguably very sexualized doll for little girls, being like, oh, it helps little girls feel beautiful or whatever. Like they're trying to reflect that in this live action adaptation. And it feels real wrong.
It really feels wrong.
I think the word helps there is doing some incredibly heavy lifting. It's not helping. It's like indoctrinating.
Yeah.
Just genuinely, like these films that like the idea of a message is implied or something and you're like, no, like what do you think it is to try and do that?
Yeah. So as you've said, Bratz has a very typical teen movie, Disney Channel original movie kind of structure of main characters, they encounter this oppressive high school where everyone's really firmly sorted into cliques. The film even has a Sharpay-esque character who,
it's just
as with High School Musical, is the best character.
And sings
deserves
a song
the lead in the school musical.
Fabulous as well.
She literally sings another song called Fabulous that isn't as good as HSM2's Fabulous.
Exactly.
But something that I feel is really key to the success of the dolls and more so than like Barbie, where it's one girl, one blonde, tall, white Barbie, is Bratz are four girls and they each have their thing.
Oh, yeah.
Do you mind breaking down what each of these girls are? Don't look at your notes to remember whose name is who.
Oh, no.
What is Yasmin's thing?
Oh, no. What color hair was Yasmin?
Yasmin
it's
is
also
brunette.
Just the really bad actors. Yasmin, yeah. Yasmin, brunette. Oh, brunette, is she shy girl?
Yes, the worst one. The worst.
Yeah,
actress,
so she's the worst one.
Character.
She also, they want to let you know that she has Mexican heritage. Mm. So when she, I'm gonna deliver this. Sometimes I like to deliver it to Anthony because I want to feel what it's like for a listener to listen to it.
Absolutely. Yeah.
So when we are introduced to her waking up in the morning, all of the brats are getting dressed over
Zoom. She cheerily announces, hola, chicas.
She does. And then she goes downstairs for breakfast where a mariachi band is just playing in
her kitchen.
Her kitchen for breakfast. And
as
you're like,
you do?
Okay, I think we've learned something about this character.
Yeah. She's one of these classic characters who has an incredible singing voice, but it has horrible, paralyzing stage fright.
And
she's very shy.
It's directed by the director of Raise Your Voice. And it has the exact same thing as Raise Your Voice, where when she sings, it's like, does Hilary Duff sing in that movie?
No, they also have someone come in and
it's
dub that,
and it doesn't sound like them at all. And it's so weird because it's not even like a teenager's voice. It just sounds bizarre. Anyway.
I have to say this trope of I'm an amazing singer, but I'm so nervous about singing because I'm really modest and shy. Mm. This hit.
Yeah.
In junior school, in middle school, every girl I know that like liked singing had to do this little pageant of like, no, please don't make me sing.
Oh, like, if only I could like come out of my shell and everyone would know I'm a really good singer.
Yeah, it's a big show and then we surprisingly win.
Oh God.
So that's
difficult.
Yasmin.
That's her whole thing.
I saw a really like out of context thing on the internet like maybe a week or two ago that was exactly that. I think it was like an SNL skit that was called like Don't
Make
Me Sing.
It's the Ayo Dabiri one? Because I was just thinking of the Ayo Dabiri one. There's a joke where Ayo Dabiri is like, oh no, my secret that I'm actually a really good singer has been revealed.
No, it's not that one. It's yet another one. I don't know who it was, but I'll have to find it for you afterwards.
It's a real trope. And it's always someone that you're like, you love this. Like, oh, you are just soaking it up. Anyway, who's next for me?
Jade. What's Jade's deal?
Is Jade the nerd?
Yeah. She's the one who's told, don't be too smart.
Don't
you have
be
to
too
work
smart.
Your passion for fashion.
And also they still actively make fun of her friends.
One of who is Chet Hanks. Chet Hayes.
Oh.
White boy summer himself.
The white boy summer coming for the brat summer.
Yeah.
And honestly, in this film, winning. And then she's like the most background one because they just don't care about the nerd. She's the one who most, I'm like, how did she find herself? She lost a really great focus on like, her academics and a really great group of people who seem to support her and not like sexualize her. Not that
she also loves sewing. She can make outfits.
That's true. Yeah. Who's next on the
What's
on the
Chloe's
block?
Deal?
She poor mum? Is that her?
She's that poor her? And clumsy.
Poor and clumsy. She plays sports And again, how empowering. There's a scene where she's playing soccer and the nice dude comes up to her and is like, here's how you like power your kick more.
And she's like, you might want to move out of the way.
And then she hits him in the balls. And then she's not like, I told you. She's like, I'm so stupid. Oh my God, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, you're literally playing soccer and you kick the ball into the goal. So annoying.
Yeah.
Is that, that's mostly her. Her mom's poor and the mean Sharpay girl uses that to like blackmail her. And embarrass her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about Sasha?
She was probably the one I liked the most. Sasha is a cheerleader.
Mm. She has divorced parents.
Oh yeah. She has divorced parents and it's regard for divorce. The concept of divorce is just like, you guys need to repair your issues just like me and my friends did when we were at school. You're like, yeah, I think it might be more advanced than that.
Something I remembered, we had both seen Brad's before. Rewatching Brad's, I was like, oh yeah, all the girls have a love interest except Sasha, who is the only black girl.
Yeah.
Oh, totally. It's like, huh, they couldn't fit in a character for her to get together with. Exactly. Everyone else.
And she's just like so sidelined that her development is supposedly just like these divorced parents. And then otherwise you're like, I guess you're just supposed to be. Oh my gosh. What? I just remember this. So funny. So early on, they're introducing why all of the brats are like the best people ever. And she's at the cheerleader auditions and she's being very bratty. To be fair, that is very brat.
They say something very Bring It On-y where she's like, the head cheerleader does some routine, is like, you got that? And she's like, I got it, did it, made it before you ever were born. Something like that.
Exactly.
It's like, I'm not going to say that in the playground tomorrow at school. Like, that's not catching on.
You're like, oh yeah, catchy. Then she's like, watch this. And she gets up.
Does an incredible cheerleading routine.
A cheerleading routine. And the first part of the cheerleading routine is like, really like electric choreography.
Lifts one leg in the air and then with her other hand sort of does like a beckoning. She's like come here. It's so funny.
And that choreo is all like, it's still like impressive that this actual actress is doing it. And then as I said, like, is she going to do any flips or anything? She starts doing
she
acro
<doesn't. laughs>
and it's a white stunt
double.
Flipping and she's
around.
A black woman. It's like so obvious as well. So the funny. Camera's like on the stunt double and you're like, what? That is the thing of you're like, the amount of care taken to a film, it's hard to make a movie. We all know this. But like, that's them being like, who, like, you can imagine them on set being like, who hired these stunt doubles? Like, are you kidding me? That's not her. Oh, we'll just do it. Yeah. And like not questioning it. Wild.
I think one of the most jaw-dropping moments in Brad's 2007 is, so she tries out for cheerleading, other nerd girl creates fireworks inside the school laboratory or whatever. Whatever. They all start getting pulled in different directions at school.
Oh.
They are following Meredith Baxter Dimley's rigid, oppressive, prison-like system of how the cliques operate. We get a montage of them arguing over like a kind of Zoom FaceTime interface. And then there is a title card in pink Comic Sans that says 2 years later. This hits me like a sledgehammer to the fucking gut.
This is like the title card in Boogie Nights where he gets shot in the head and then it's like the 80s. Like, it's literally like everything you knew about life has completely changed.
And so now they're seniors and they have no, they're not close at all anymore. And it's really heartbreaking.
It's my main thought on a film like this is like, well, I'm not the demo for this film, but really the longevity of films like this, we are the exact demo of. We grew up watching sleepover movies like this, like High School Musical, Wild Child, Freaky Friday, all those things. And some of them are like lower tier, but still fun.
Yeah.
This movie doesn't, like, it's the kind of thing that every few years you'll be like, oh my God, let's watch Bratz. And you're like, it's sad.
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, never funny. Can we talk about the performance style of it?
It's really strange.
It's really weird because like
forcefully smiley they are.
Slapsticky sort of Disney Channel stuff. Even Disney Channel, like sometimes like episodes have like jokes that are like a written joke that is like wordplay or payoff and then set up and then payoff. And like this movie is just people talking in a like smarmy, cheeky way, but never saying funny things. And then occasionally just like food fight-esque pie
joyless
in the face
food fight
stuff. The main four are just so like, they're not supported at all, obviously, but they're just really bad.
Mm.
They don't have anything good to do with it, obviously. But like the only person who survives the movie, character is written in a way that is like, that's what that character should be, says funny things, is Meredith Baxter
Dimley, a true star.
She's so good.
She's so like, I mean, there's a million characters like this in all these movies you've mentioned before. Yes. Like a narcissistic mean girl who is like blonde and has like a hilariously cartoonish level of control and influence over
and everyone. And like a super, like they're very blind to the fact that their whole life is just like based off daddy's money.
You like her more than all of the brats combined.
So much more.
She's the brat. She's the mean girl that Charlie was talking about.
She really is. And just like...
So me having not seen this, I'm confused as to how the main four are defined as brats if they are not fulfilling that trope.
This is part of it.
It's so true.
So they're named brats. It's sort of like...
What do they do that's bratty?
They get called brats when they very indirectly cause Meredith to get knocked into the pool at her own sweet 16th birthday.
The super sweet 16th
screams, this is all your fault, you stupid brats. And then later on, when they want to go for the big school talent show, where one of the prizes is a scholarship to the university of your choice.
Ride to university. Look, I do think I was ready to bag it for that when I started it because I saw that one of the Letterboxd reviews was that. And I was like, oh yeah, I've never thought about that before. But to be fair, the whole talent show is set up as just like a rigged competition for Meredith to win. So it's really supposed to be her full ride, right? Don't you think?
But she doesn't need it. Her dad could just pay for it.
I know, but isn't that just like the point that like it's something she would get anyway?
Yeah, all right.
I think we can forgive Brat that.
Okay.
Taking opportunities away from others is a prize in and unto itself.
Yeah. Exactly.
But
exactly.
They choose the name Brats to get back at her. And it's like, that's sort of Brat being like, I'm reclaiming that you see me as like a rude little rebel or whatever.
But that is clearly such a pot calling the kettle brat moment.
Oh, like, I love that.
How did she think that she was calling someone else
that? Yeah, because she's spoiled and rich.
Classic projection. She was just looking in the face of her own actions and she didn't like what she saw.
Yeah.
Maybe she gets called that enough by like her family or like people who know her.
Not by John Voight.
Not by her dad. It's really strange that John Voight is in this movie because it's a very small character. Like he must have kind of wanted or needed this.
He does a better job than a lot of them.
Does he? He sucks.
No, what I mean is at not looking like he's embarrassed to be there. He probably is, but he's fine. I have a role. I think, do you know what the role is that I'm like, there was always like one performance in a film.
Brats.
No, in all of cinema that I'm like, you never want to let yourself be in a role that you're embarrassed of because of Alec Baldwin's performance in Rock of Ages.
Oh.
That is a performance that I'm like, you do not want to be caught looking like you're embarrassed.
Yeah.
You got to double down and be like, I am making a fool of myself in this art.
You
got to
be Tom Cruise in Rock of Ages where everyone's like, wow, you actually ate that a lot.
That's exactly it. And John Voight is... John Voight in this. I wasn't like, oh, you aren't being like dorky or you're doing it and like looking lame in the eyes.
He's just
stupid.
Barely a character. Like it's this sort of gag of like, he's the school principal and Meredith's dad, but she is really like, this student is sort of running the show and he'll just do whatever she wants. But like it makes such little impact. Like it didn't need to be her dad. It didn't need, I don't know.
It's very pointless. And creepy. Also that thing in movies of this era where like you would go see some dumb teen movie and then there'd be like a very famous actor from the 60s or 70s. And you're like, was the idea like, that's one for the parents.
And
you're
like Vanessa Redgrave as Grandma Gugu. And you're like, oh, I guess she's like famous probably. I don't know.
Now. And you're like, they don't need to see this. Like they don't care. They're not going to be like, oh, well, you know what? John Voight's in it. That'll be good for your dad. Like no one's doing that. It's so dumb. Let's talk about the songs, I guess, is the other thing to talk about.
Meredith had two songs. It's
fully
a strange amount of songs.
Yeah.
There are three musical numbers, diegetic musical numbers in this movie.
And
two right at the
otherwise
end.
Otherwise none. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they're extended. So I definitely knew two of them, but I forgot that Meredith had another one.
F to the A to the B-O-U-S.
But it has a really weird bit where it's like,
yeah,
talking about Everything is romantic. Songs where you're like, why is this going through like 40 different musical movements? This is
all
one.
The songs are like this, especially Bratitude.
We need to talk about Bratitude because in my mind, when someone says the Bratz movie, like someone will be like, oh my God, Bratitude,
attitude, to show the latitude. It's like, it's not a platitude. To show the latitude. It's like, oh my God, stop, please.
It's so brutal. But then like, so, you know, you get to that and you're like, hell yeah, all right, here we are. And then it is also the weirdest song.
It has a gospel breakdown. Which it has Bratitude.
A mariachi band. The mariachi band from earlier.
It's not a platitude.
And it goes for so long.
And then it ends with everybody going, ah, like this crazy.
Like music theater moment. It's so confused. And also what we love to point out is that I didn't realize apparently Paula Abdul was supposed to do the Corrie.
This is funny to me.
And then like got kicked off or something. So the Corrie is also so funny. We wish you could like show you the Corrie we find funny.
Yeah. There's like some strange nodding where there's like just beats of waiting in the song and they're sort of just nodding at the audience like ding, ding,
like
ding.
Tiny nod. It actually is the spirit of the dancing that I was saying scares me when I think of songs.
When you think of Push the Button.
Like Push the Button. It's like weird, unified, like smiling dancing that's not complex enough. It
like
really
they've been
me.
Somewhat lobotomized.
Yes.
And
they're like
maybe
empty, but they're
meant
like
to be
smiling.
Like a dance you could do with your Bratz dolls.
That's actually.
Like you could move their arms and legs.
You definitely could with these things.
Kind of like the camera has lingered on a backup dancer for a bit too long.
It reminds me of the backup dancer Corrie in Love Actually. When
those kids, the little b-boys.
When she sings All I Want for Christmas Is You, the little beatbox boys. It's like that. But the best song, right, is You Know It's All About Me.
Is Meredith's song. So the big villain song, I guess, of like Meredith performs first her song It's All About Me, like this narcissist anthem or whatever. Mm. No one claps. They're all like, wow, what a rude, obnoxious girl, a brat even. And then the Bratz perform and it's a heartwarming spectacle that involves everybody and everyone cheers and thinks they should win. But Meredith's song is better.
I'm stealing this idea from you, but it's the sort of thing that like when we were kids and you said this to me, I was like, my brain opened up and I was like, that is so true. That like in High School Musical 2 and 1, because they do it twice, the trope where Sharpay and Ryan sing something and it's sort of like poppy but vapid and not serious.
They sing a shallow pop song.
And then Troy and Gabriella will come out and make it beautiful music. And you're like...
Because they sing it with a piano.
Literally. And you're like, this is fucking boring. Yeah. Like Sharpay and Ryan did it with such... It's not... It's like when a movie treats the lyrics of a pop song. You know, a lot of horror movies now will have like... a pop song and the lyrics will get treated really seriously. And you're like, is that supposed to be impressive just because it's like a creepy cover? Yeah. Like it doesn't hold the weight of that.
So many songs I could talk about this with. The sad, slow version of Dancing on My Own ruins the song. The sad, slow version of Mad World ruins the song.
Girl,
it's like you need it to be poppy and peppy
acoustic
so
cover.
That then it insidiously like affects you.
Exactly, exactly. Yeah. I'm sorry, but like, Troy and Gabriella slowly singing You Are the Music in Me has
is
nothing.
Is not better than Sharpay going, You Are the Music again. Like a fun boogie version or whatever.
That's amazing. It's so good. That's so much better. And in this movie, Bratitude is 50 confused songs. Yeah. Whereas You Know It's All About Me, top to bottom, amazing.
It's like three confused songs.
No, my face.
I have 10 million friends. Text me at SMS and press send. And then she also goes, you know it's all about me. That's my philosophy. She's doing like sort of little gangster hands or something.
Yeah, it's great. That's the best part of the movie. I think the only redeeming quality of this film is her. Absolutely.
Wow. So obviously you're about to get into comparing these two things somehow, some way. As maybe like a more fair fight, do you think you could say that one of any of the songs from the Bratz movie is better than even one of the songs from Brat?
I was shitting on Rewind, but that's...
But still no? Yeah.
No, there is not a song in Brat's
not
that is better than
Brat. Not with the texture it's given by its place in our life and the fact that people know it. I would argue that, you know, it's all about me. Being a sincere relic of this mindset and way of thinking, you could argue it is better than... if Charlie, if you're listening, I'd actually like to know 100%
she's listening. I just really am sure she listens about to that,
that being better. You know what's all about me being better than maybe Back to Back?
No, it isn't.
Which you said was one of your favorites. Yeah. So that's why that's
it's
hard.
Not. It's not. It's all about me. It's not. I don't want to go back to back.
Yeah, it is a good song, but I think Meredith kills it.
There is some comparing to be done. Not quality-wise, but thematically, we can make something happen.
We were just joking about how this is like one of the most passionate episodes we've ever done, and I don't even know how to begin to compare these two radically different things.
Radically different things.
But I think the idea that I would like to come from first is, Anthony, what you mentioned, which is with the album Brat, we talked about this as like the character of the whole album as something that is both about you but about something that you can adopt as the listener as well. And Bratz is a film that supposedly is about brats, but I don't know what is bratty about them. And the real brat is Meredith. So what about the brat mentality exists in Bratz in a way that you think actually is like a code of living that one could live by? Or do you think it betrays the values of a Bratz song?
I think the only sort of emotional part of Bratz and an element that happens to tie into Brat the album is the female friendship element of what happened to us. We used to be besties.
Yeah, so true.
I don't know how you feel anymore. We're so different. Girls, so confusing.
And a disconnect that you're like, you read it as one thing, but then with more information, you're like, oh, you know, the whole part of Girls So Confusing that's so beautiful is this idea of like coming back to each other from being like,
we're two sides of the same coin. Industry loves to spend. We're being used and pitted against each other by Meredith.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And just like that, I viewed the way you were, our relationship was about how you saw me. But now I actually know it's about how you see yourself.
Honestly, Jade was speechless when she woke up to Chloe's voice message.
Chloe's voice message on their Zoom call. I don't know what it is in that era. But yeah, exactly. And in that story, in Bratz, it's them all not realizing for 2 years that they just drifted apart.
Yeah.
Because again, they don't really know how to sell the conflict that divides them. They just do, as you said, like a montage of them talking on Skype or whatever. And
if
it's
I was
about them
feeling
arguing,
very, very kind.
How would it go? How do you think that the fight went?
I think it's that it's such a petty kind of thing where it's just like, oh, guys, I actually can't do Wednesday. I have cheerleading
practice.
She's
like, you never make time for us.
And it's like, no, I'm just saying I'm busy with this. Like, can you not accommodate me? And they're being like, no. Blah, 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 blah.
And she's like, girls, you never make time for us anymore. And they're like, we're sorry. That
like, it doesn't matter what the fight's about.
We have to take care of you so much. And then they would stop talking.
And I also think in Brat, the over-the-top empowering, I'm the baddest, I'm a party girl literally every single day of the year, 360, is Meredith.
I would say
Von Dutch.
Is Bratz worth it for, well, yeah, Meredith is Mean Girl, Meredith is Von Dutch, Meredith is Brat. But yeah, it's genuinely me.
Would you do? You know how people watch Wizard of Oz and listen to Pink Floyd Dark Side of the Moon? Would you have a Brat/Z party where you watch Bratz and play Brat at the same time?
I think we said
we just should have done that.
We said while watching it, we were going to pick the points where we would do that.
Yeah.
Okay, well, fine. We know we both prefer Brat the album. That's done. We're doing a Hear My Eyes of
Bratz.
And we
Charlie
need
is
to
scoring
use
it.
Charlie's Brat album.
Yeah.
Are there like any you watch the movie silently with like subtitles on.
Just like the male character who's deaf, but we didn't even talk about this. The male character.
He can be club classics.
He is club
classics.
There's
a deaf guy who is Yasmin's love interest and they have a hilarious interaction where they first meet where she bumps into him and is like, "Ah, oh, what's wrong with you? Are you blind?" And he's like, "No, I'm deaf." And she's like, "You don't look deaf." And he's like, "Well, you don't look ignorant." And she's like, oh, gutted, like so hurt being called out for being ableist. And he realizes, even though he's deaf, he can mix. He's a great DJ. So he can play those club classics.
He puts his hand on the vibrations of a speaker. And the whole movie, the reason, oh, this is so satisfying telling this to you, Anthony. The whole reason that he can have full dialogue conversations with people who can't sign is lip reading. And you just scan every shot for all the times that they're barely facing each other or like, you know, turn their back. And you're like, that is not what lip reading is. It is not just like a cure-all for any means of like trying to help someone understand you if you like have different like needs. Like it's ridiculous. It's so stupid. It's
like the writer kind of Googled deafness.
They're like, we don't want to actually have a deaf actor or have to deal with this.
Really. Yeah, exactly. And be like, yeah, you know, something in this should matter. Like get one of those people in.
We can say that he's deaf. That'll be great.
And we also just love the idea that every time he's like, yeah, I'm actually really good at mixing, that he would just make absolute trash. Shit. Like, because all his only version of mixing is just a vinyl, just doing the ricka ricka, like record on a deck. And all we ever see him do is go ricka ricka. And you're like him being like, I'm actually really fucking good. And then he just spins it all day long.
Yeah, that's a little different. I'm like, I'm trying to, you were bringing up the concept before of like extending generosity to something. And I'm like trying to do that with like, how could that be possible?
You actually, so
in this day and age with like a lot of the DJing software that people use, you actually probably could DJ to like an extent if you were deaf because a lot of software shows you where the beats line up visually. So like you can tempo sync them very easily. Yeah. But a lot of them also do like key signature analysis, which is the other part of it. It's like you can't, it's difficult to mix two songs together when they're in a different key to each other because you get like dissonances and stuff. But if you had that information given to you as well, actually probably wouldn't be like that difficult.
Oh, totally. But, and as it should be, of course, the comedy of it in this film. This
motherfucker is... feeling the vibrations.
Literally. And just the complete like lack of care taken to that idea that you're like, is this supposed to be impressive that you chose to do this? Like it's so stupid. Yeah, here's club classics. Mm.
There are so many that we could have over the food fight scene. Like Girls So Confusing or like when
Girls So Confusing is when they are in detention and they make up.
Yeah. And when Yasmin, like after the 2 year time jump, when she's going around to them and be like, hey, you know, we haven't seen each other in ages. It's talk. Like, please just talk to me.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. That's so true. What about, I think about it all the time. That's when the mother, the mother is really tired because she's been working lots and stuff, but she has to do
a
lot of
the girls
baking.
Help her out.
The girls cook, do all the baking for her. And then she's like, oh, girls. And
the
then
girls are angels.
That would be, I think about it all the time.
And then Apple is obviously John Voight. And his daughter being an evil, corrupt apple that's rotten right to the core.
Exactly. Exactly. What else? What's back to back? Who does she go back to? I guess that's when they come.
Back to back
is when there's a moment where the boring, annoying, shy one is like, oh, I can't do the talent show.
Mm.
And it's because she's being blackmailed. But then eventually she comes back.
I don't want to get blackmailed. Back to back.
To back to you.
Yeah, where they're like, ah, oh, and it's all a big misunderstanding and the friends work it out and stuff. But yeah, she has to put on this little pageant of like, we can't get back to you.
Sympathy is a knife? I can't even grin my face and lie. Who puts on a brave show for someone in this film? Because we have so many radically honest young women.
Is it Meredith being jealous of the brats?
Yeah, it's when she.
She's like, I kind of want them to fail. I mean, she really wants them to fail, but.
Yeah, yeah. It's whenever she like fake. Maybe when
she
puts,
pretends to be cute and nice, but
at her
not.
Party when she makes boring, annoying, shy girl
clowns.
Get up to sing.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, come up and.
Yeah.
Like we want to hear your beautiful voice because she knows that she's gonna
embarrass
herself, and she does. It's like, get over it. Sing.
Yeah.
This has been too powerful. This has been so good. Do you have a triplet in the attic for us?
Yeah, my triplet's so lazy. it's the Jade Bratz doll that I had when I was in year three.
Is it in good condition or did you like?
No clue where she is now. She may be compacted by trash long ago.
So this isn't even just a triplet in the attic. It's also like a help, like a wanted, a missing poster.
I just I was just reflecting on like, was I into Bratz? We had some Bratz. We had Barbie, but we also had Bratz as well. And the thing about this doll I had, she wasn't an adult or teen doll. This was a Bratz baby. Which is really strange because she had jewelry and eyeshadow and stuff. So still like a really feminized, sexualized little doll. And it was just like this big plastic baby of Jade. And I went on my school camp in year three. And I remember the teachers sort of saying like maybe the day before being like, oh, if you want to bring like card games or a book or something to have fun with in your bunk, go for it. And I was like, I'm going to bring my Jade Bratz baby and just lugging this thing around. I don't know. I guess I was just like, guys, look at this. It's so cool. It's my Bratz baby. They're just like, oh, cool.
Sick.
But it was like this big, cumbersome, heavy thing. And something about the plastic, toxic femininity of it is Brat coded to me. That was my Bratz summer in 2008 or 2007 or whenever it was.
God, you do really like long for times where the height of the like very early sexualization of women, like the peak of that conversation was talking about a Bratz doll. Like, take me back. You know what I mean? Like that.
The other thing about Bratz that they didn't have feet.
The least of our worries.
Their feet were just their shoes. Like if you took off their shoes, they just had little peg legs. So they always had to be wearing shoes. Another unattainable standard for women. You don't have feet unless you're wearing high heels.
Feet. You just have heels.
Yeah.
That is fully dystopian.
Yeah. Wow. It's not really dark about that. Anyway.
Mine, I already mentioned that like any sort of film watch along that you could have either for the Bratz movie or in particular the album Brat, you could just look up the Roxy Cinema Brat collection and watch anything from it. I would most recommend Daisies.
Party Girl.
And Project X holds up really well. I can't really remember some of the other ones. I should double check, but we'll link it. It was really, really fun. Party Girl in particular very much is, I think about it all the time-esque in terms of being like, oh, I know I'm just the person that everyone's like, oh, you're so fun and cool, but like
being like, maybe am I starting to miss out? Am I getting a little old for
should
this?
Should I do something serious with my life? And everyone's like, no, you don't have to
you're
do boring.
Girl.
You're the party girl. And you're like, I actually...
I'm sad.
I'm scared. It's really great. But when we were talking about Spring Breakers, one of the bonus tracks, it had me thinking about what I love about Frank Ocean's Forrest Gump. Like a song that is...
Not Super Rich Kids?
Yeah. Well, that's not like... Actually, I guess Super Rich Kids is the Brat-themed Frank Ocean song. That's very true. I also mean Forrest Gump isn't like... the ideas of it and the sound of it isn't similar to this theme. But like the song Spring Breakers, I love the idea of being inspired by a film to like apply your language and sound to it as though you're like superimposing yourself into the world. So Forrest Gump is like as though Frank Ocean were Jenny? Wait, I'm trying to think about the song now. Mm. Yeah, were Jenny like... looking up to Forrest, and it just has this very like nostalgic hometown sort of feel. And I think that's really beautiful.
It's a good pick. Very unexpected.
Yeah. I know. It was for me too. But sometimes the best ones just hit you in the face. That's right. This was so much fun. Dangerous, but really, really fun. Thank you so much for listening. You can check out next week's episode, as we said, on the Patreon. Thank you so much to everyone that is already a subscriber. And we have a really fun time making fun episodes for you. We have our next installment of the Slot Bucket next week. And there will be a new poll up for you to vote on our next cinematic punishment. Otherwise, you can follow us on Instagram, Facebook, Letterboxd. Shoot us up with a DM if you want us to do something on the show. Anything else for today?
I don't have anything to say.
I think I got to go.
Yeah.
Be a 365 party girl.
This one's for all my mean pearls. Her ears just twitched
back. All my bad pearls.
This one's for all my break your girl boyfriend's heart pearls.
My tear that shit apart pearls.
Sometimes she does tear shit apart.
Yeah, she does. What song, what Brat song most suits Pearl? Girls are confusing, probably. Because you're always like, come on. Like, how do you really feel about me?
Yeah. Yeah, she is so confusing. It's her. Yeah, that's it.
Yeah.
As you said, with the rival cat as well, definitely.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bye.